Kenny. Est-ce qu'il fallait?
Yo, monkeys, it's me, DDP, the king of bada bing, the master of the diamond cutter, the three-time world champion. And you, well, you monkey, you're living on the SNS network. Stay tuned or you will feel. Hey!
Big Daddy Cool, Diesel, / Kevin Nash. You're listening on the SNS Radio Network.
Hey, this is Olympic gold medalist Kurt Angle from TNA, and you're listening on the SNS Radio Network. Oh, it's real. It's damn real.
This is Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels, Mr. Hall of Fame, 2011, and you are listening on SNS Radio Network. See ya, and I wouldn't want to be here.
Hey, you listen on the SNS Network, and that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
The world is listening.
Breaking news at this hour, American television icon Dick Clark dead at 82 as a result of a heart attack. A mainstay on radio and TV, Dick Clark helped solidify the legitimacy of the Rock and Wrestling Connection back in 1984 at Madison Square Garden. An appearance at a WWF event in which Roddy Piper attacked Captain Lou Albano and Cyndi Lauper, helping set the stage for professional wrestling's glory years. The Rewind starts right now.
The power is back and here we go!
The Pro Wrestling Rewind.
I have no one to envy. I envy you having me to envy.
I really don't care if you agree with me or not. This is the truth.
That's called the power, brother.
It's difficult when your icons pass away. We see in professional wrestling, we see it time and time again, we see legends that pass on long before their time. And we look at people and we see them on television, we see them in real life, and we feel like they're going to be around forever. There are people that you see on television and you just have this sense that they're going to live forever. And Dick Clark was one of those people. Dick Clark dead today at 82 as the result of a heart attack. It's the Power, Andy Knowles Pro Wrestling Rewind. What would Dick Clark have anything to do with professional wrestling? Many people didn't know that he was at the event, my birthday, December 28th, 1984, Madison Square Garden, the beginning of what would become to known in World Wrestling Federation circles as the Rock and Wrestling Connection, setting the score for, or settling the score, Hulk Hogan, Roddy Piper in February, and then moving on to, of course, WrestleMania 1 and what we have today. It really is difficult to think how this man, Dick Clark, brought so much to the entertainment industry, and he had his own little part in professional wrestling. And while it's a part of life, we know it's going to happen, it still doesn't sting any less. And the first thought in my mind before coming on the air tonight was, you know, New Year's Eve is never going to be the same. Dick Clark's New Year's Rockin' Eve on ABC. I almost didn't watch this last year. I was ready to call it a night and go to bed early. I've got children. I don't have the luxury of going out and partying on a New Year's Eve. New Year's Eve at my house in recent years has been my wife and I sitting on the couch and watching New Year's Rockin' Eve. I don't think it's going to mean much now. Ryan Seacrest is now taking over the program. It's not going to be the same.
They just better keep the name the same.
I really do think that they need to continue calling it Dick Clark's New Year's Rockin' Eve.
Oh yeah.
Even if he's not there. The Bronx Father Tony Mirabella joining us here on the Newsmaker line. A lot to get to in the next hour and a half. A lot to get to, but it's hard to shake this. I just learned, of course, he's out on the West Coast. We just learned about the passing of Dick Clark about 30 minutes before the program began. It was very difficult to gather all of this together. But you and I were saying before the beginning of the broadcast, you know, it wasn't up until he had his stroke. The man still looked like he was in his 40s up until he had his stroke.
Yeah, he was one of those guys who just seemed never to change. And, you know, I remember him for three main things. I remember, of course, the New Year's Eve, every New Year's Eve since I was a kid. You know, the first CD set, when my mother bought me my first CD player, she bought me a three-disc set where Dick Clark put together these albums of like the best of the 60s, 70s, 80s. It was awesome. And of course, the $25,000 pyramid. I love that show.
Oh, don't you wait and see. The Game Show Network will be doing a montage of $25,000 and $100,000 pyramids. And there was a delivery to Dick Clark. Dick Clark was one of the greatest all-time announcers, all-time personalities, television personalities. Dick Clark would have made a hell of a pro wrestling commentator. And the delivery that man in his voice, you talk about the pyramid when he would be at the winner's circle and he would say those iconic, you know, words, for $100,000, here's your first subject, go. You had goosebumps up and down your spine. I'm not talking up and down your leg like Chris Matthews and Obama. I'm talking you had legitimate goosebumps when this man spoke. there are people in professional wrestling. There are people that transcend their ability to communicate. Jim Ross is one of those people. Jim Ross has that ability, has that delivery, whereby he can literally give you goosebumps with what he is saying. Michael Cole used to have it. He used to have it. He has since lost it, or like part of his anatomy has been cut off. But it really is an American tragedy, really, to hear that Dick Clark had passed away. But and you know, he did have a part in professional wrestling. It was a very small part. But to know that he was there at the beginning of an era, you know, the beginning of what we now have, you know, in front of us. And it's a sad day. What can I say? I haven't picked up, you know, it's going to be Heaven's New Year's Rockin' Eve. And maybe they can do the $100,000 pyramid up there. I don't know. Donny Osmond just doesn't make for a good Dick Clark.
You know, I have a smile on my face for one reason. Before we get off Dick Clark, I just remembered one of my other favorite shows that I haven't thought about in 10 years. Do you remember TV bloopers and practical jokes with Vince McMahon?
Yeah, absolutely. him and Ed McMahon, not Vince McMahon, Ed McMahon.
Ed McMahon.
If it had been him and Vince McMahon, Vince McMahon would have been trying to have Dick Clark, you know, enter the Kiss My Ass Club.
Oh, that wouldn't happen, but...
There was... I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, we're getting off topic here, and we definitely have a lot to cover, but a man as iconic at as Dick Clark, you know, he deserves a mention in professional wrestling for what little contribution he had, and he will definitely be sorely missed. There was some news in the world of professional wrestling this week. Recent live SmackDown specials have disappointed in the ratings. No current plans at all to move Friday Night SmackDown to Tuesdays, and keep Friday Night SmackDown taped, of course, which makes all these spoiler haters out there very angry. Your thoughts?
Well, here's the problem with the Tuesday Night SmackDown, because if I'm not mistaken, the replay on Friday had better ratings than the live one. I think that after Raw, you're wrestled out.
Pretty much.
It's good to have that week break. Your Mondays stink, but you can escape watching wrestling for a bit. Then you build up all that anxiety again during the week, and on Friday night, you get to see it again. What they should do, and everyone talks about TNA, what the WWE should do, now I realize there'd be more traveling involved. They should make SmackDown live on Fridays.
I don't see why not. If they're going to make the television a weekly event, why not start on the Friday, go to a house show on the Saturday, a pay-per-view show on the Sunday if need be, and then you've got the Monday, and then you do your travel time during the week. Right now, the way it is set up is they have their house shows. They do their travel in the middle of the week. They have their house shows on the Friday and the Saturday, sometimes Thursday. And then a possible pay-per-view on a Sunday, if not a house show, and then they do the Raw on Monday and the SmackDown tapings on Tuesday. I mean, you have to allow for travel time in between cities, obviously. I mean, they try to keep the destinations pretty much in the same geographic area. But I don't see what moving to Friday would really matter.
I'm sorry. It could have something to do with maybe the boys want to have a little time on the weekends to go home. I mean, that's a possibility, too. You know, when there's not a pay-per-view, you know, all right, guys, we're not doing much Saturday, Sunday. You send, you know, your top guys home and let, you know, some of the younger talent do the house shows. That could be it, too. I mean, I don't know the logistics. I'm just, throwing out ideas.
Back in the Monday Night Wars, when you had to have a Thursday Night Thunder and a Friday Night SmackDown, you had to have that second show. It made sense. Now I'm beginning to wonder, now that the brand split means absolutely nothing, nothing at all. And we've had these conversations before, but I think now might be the time, you know, to shut it down, you know, make Raw your flag show. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that the WWE Network has not yet surfaced. They can't sell the bloody thing. They can't sell the WWE Network to anybody because nobody wants it. Because there's going to be so much fluff in this, it's going to delegitimize the wrestlers themselves. I mean, we're already seeing it now on YouTube and some of these programs, these little programs that they have on YouTube. You know, some of these things I wouldn't be caught dead watching. You know, at some point, the WWE has to recognize that people are watching them for professional wrestling. You're going to get your diehard fans that are going to want to see John Cena in the Dream Machine. But at the end of the day, I'm tuning in Monday night to see two guys beat the living crap out of each other. I don't care to watch the Bellas go out and buy makeup. Okay, what's going to be next? Dancing with the Wrestlers? We already had that with Chris Jericho.
Wait a minute, that's a real show?
Dancing
with going out buying makeup? Are you serious?
Believe me, I'm sure the WWE has done it. You know.
I thought you were being serious for a minute.
Natty Neidhart going out and buying air freshener, or oh my goodness, what else? The perils of the Big Show. And the perils of the Big Show and the Great Khali going out trying to buy underwear. I mean, there are the programs out there that, you know, that just that some diehard fans, you know, want to, you know, they want to see the because they have no lives themselves and they want to live vicariously through the wrestlers. Okay, fine.
Ouch.
But there are those of us that simply want to sit down on a Monday night and watch professional wrestling. And I know that's going to come as a great big shock to the folks in Titan Tower, but, you know, wrestling's been around for a lot of years. A lot of years. And it survived without all this bull crap. I think it's time. Honestly, I think it's time to go a little bit more conservative. I really do. But that's my own opinion. Go ahead.
Well, kudos to you, because it's interesting. I was talking to Trey about this Monday, and I was like, I don't understand. You know, I don't have the exact figures in front of me right now, but WrestleMania brought in something like $130 million worth of buys. We figured it out. And I said to myself, well, why doesn't anybody want this network? I mean, you know, what I didn't realize is you're right. All these, it's going to be 5% wrestling and the rest. Look, if they're going to do a 24-hour network, what they should do, Vince has the, come on.
It's going to be
video library. He's got the WCW right. video library, the NWA.
The AWA.
Yeah. He's got thousands upon thousands. He could probably fill up content with nothing but wrestling for 10 years, 24 hours a day.
I would watch it. I would watch old world-class programs. I would watch, oh my God, if I could go back, if they could replay Worldwide Wrestling and the NWA from the early 80s and have a run with it, I would sit and watch it, and there's a lot of folks like me that would. And of course, you know, they'll only do it until like midnight, and then they'll have Snuggie commercials and how to make money on real estate from midnight to 5 a.m., you know, and then you wake up in the morning, you know, you'll have the Wild Kingdom with Santino Marella and whatever else they got, you know. Zack Ryder coming out introducing cartoon. They'll have Hulk Hogan's Rockin' Wrestling on there. They'll do that for the kiddies. They'll bring that old program back. You know, look, television people are smart people. Okay. They're smart people. They're not going to buy this product because they can't market it. The ratings for these programs are going to be worse than cable access. And anybody can get a show on cable access. All right. If this were hot poop, okay? If this was the bee's knees and this was the holy grail of television networks, don't you think that Dish or Time Warner or somebody, Comcast, somebody would have picked it up? Don't you think somebody would have picked it up? There's something wrong with this idea. I mean, please don't get me wrong. I think it's a great idea. I will buy it. I don't like buying extras on my cable, but I'll pay an extra $10 a month to have the WWE if I can get the classic throwback programming. Could you imagine sitting down at your television and watching some old Superstars episodes, WWF Superstar episodes from the late 80s, or watching some old Attitude Era Raws, or watching some WCW Nitros, for God's sakes?
Well, I remember Saturday morning as a kid, man. It was on at noon. You know, you didn't have to go to school. You'd have a bowl of cereal. You got up late. I used to like when they used to have those shows with the jobbers. You know, every match was a squash, right. Definitely. But still, it was fun. And if I'm not mistaken, and I know either you, Andy, or someone in the chat room, the infamous kick heard round the world where the Rockers broke up. That was on a Saturday morning show, was
That's
it not?
That's right. They broke up in a barbershop segment with Brutus Beefcake. You
right.
know, big things, big things happened in the second half of that show. I mean, you're absolutely right. There were throwaway matches, but you know, sometimes you got lucky, and sometimes you got a match where two evenly matched individuals or two evenly matched tag teams would go at it, and it made your week. And then it was a bonus if it was a Saturday night's main event weekend. Oh my word! If it was a Saturday night's main event weekend, then you were double lucky. Because then you knew you were actually going to get really good wrestling matches that actually had some consequence and title matches on top of them. The NWA, I want to segue into this. The NWA Worldwide Wrestling would generally have throwaway matches as well, but they would always have a main event match. The problem is that by the time they got to the main event match, they always ran out of time. And so they teased all these great matches, but you'd only get a couple of minutes of them. Until finally somebody woke up and realized, say, hey, you're pissing people off and we're losing viewers. So what they would do the following week is they would show the end of the match the following week. Now, keep in mind, this was before internet where, you know, where these things could be posted. But you'd have to watch next the following week to see what happened. And then eventually it turned into what we see now. But, you know, there are those people out there that will sit and watch this old stuff because they dream of a day when things could be the way they were. We know it's not going to happen. All right? Vince McMahon has killed it. The internet has killed it. Michael Cole and his lack of manhood have killed it. But there are some people who will live vicariously through those old days. Doesn't mean it's right or wrong. See, my day, I'm a child of the 80s. That was my day. That was my heyday. For some people, their heyday was the Attitude Era in the 90s, and that's all they know. For some people, it's more recent. For some people, it's ECW, and that's all they grew up on. For some people, it might be it might be what they've only seen in the past 10 years. And then another 10 or 15 years from now, they're going to be nostalgic for what they saw because something new, some other new asininity will come along. Why do you think I was marking out like a five-year-old when they brought back the original? Well, I shouldn't say the original, but when they brought back the 80s Intercontinental title belt, by far one of the nicest championship trophies in the business. Because somebody at Creative got it through their thick head. You know what? We've got to make this mean something again. We've got to put some legitimacy back on these belts. And having a title belt that you could use to hold up your own pants is no way to get it done.
I mean, I could write shows for them. I mean, something like In Your Era. Have a show like that. 1 week, like for a month you do, you know, the 70s in wrestling. For another month you do the 80s. For another month you do the 90s. And then you start over again. And you'll get all different age groups saying, oh, cool, they're doing the 80s this month. Okay, I got to watch that. You know, it's going to be all wrestling from the 80s. But don't forget, Power, they're an entertainment company now.
Oh, Christ.
I hate that because entertainment is what's taken away from you know. I remember in an interview with Kurt Angle, and regardless, the man knows his stuff. He said it's always going to be about wrestling. It's no matter what Vince says.
Yeah.
That's why people tune in. You could take the word out. You could do whatever you want to do, but it's always going to be wrestling.
Remember when Vince McMahon was forcing his people to call the wrestlers superstars, to call the matches encounters, to try to take everything out of professional wrestling. He did everything he possibly could to try to change it. And look what happened at the Hall of Fame event. Tully Blanchard, of all people, Tully Blanchard came on and called the WWE Universe, the WWE wrestling fans. Don't tell me Vince McMahon wasn't cringing. You can't take wrestling out of this industry. You can't. You just can't. Okay? There are facts of life. And the fact is, when two men get in the middle of a squared circle that's 15 by 15, they're going to wrestle. And you can't stop that, Vince. You can't. And he's supposed to be. Gerald Briscoe come on this program and said that he listens. He listens to the fans. Well, I'm still waiting for him to throw Michael Cole out on his ass.
It's almost like, do you remember, I think it was WCW, was it them when they had to call foreign objects international objects?
Yeah, they called them international objects. Like, that really made a difference.
Oh, that was so bad. It was good. International, you know, objects.
I think, you know, at least the NWA, say what you will, say what you want to about the crowds, but when I look back at real professional wrestling, to me, was the National Wrestling Alliance. And I know NWA and NWA Hollywood, you know, they're trying to recreate that, and they're doing their best. But it's not going to be the same. It probably never will be the same. You know, we have what we have, and we're still going to go and plop $60 down to watch Mania. We're still going to plop $50 down to watch the Rumble because we can't get enough of it. We are ingrained. Our DNA is somehow infused with this want and need to want to watch two people beat the living crap out of each other. You can't get away from it. So there will always be, and everybody will have their own individual tastes. I will say one thing, though. I want to get to this story here before we get to the top of the hour. I am, ladies and gentlemen, it's not very often that a professional wrestler comes into my backyard and makes their way under the radar. Okay? It just doesn't happen. But the Ring of Honor television champion was actually up here in my neck of the woods to help sign autographs for the Barnabas House up in the Messina area, which, if you're not familiar with upstate New York, is near the Canadian border, near the Ontario-Canadian border. The WWE right now, the closest they'll ever get to coming here is at the Cornwall Civic Center, the Cornwall Arena. TNA had an event last summer, in which Mickie James defended the Knockouts Championship at the Messina Arena. The Cornwall Arena over on the Canadian side actually had a Raw at some point. But Jay Lethal came up here. The Adirondack Pro Wrestling Federation, which is, from what I can tell, is a new organization coordinated by a gentleman by the name of Justin Berry, who you can find on Facebook, got a lot of press, and I mean a lot of press, in the local market. The Watertown Daily Times, the Malone Telegraph, other news, legitimate news outlets, reporting on this. Bob Beckstead, who works for Johnson Newspapers, the Malone Telegram, reported that it took several hours. I found this funny. It took several hours and three plane changes, but professional wrestler Jay Lethal was on hand Saturday to sign autographs in Messina and Malone as a fundraiser for a homeless shelter in Malone, the Barnabas House. It took three flights to get here. The last one was the smallest plane I've ever been on, Lethal said after his arrival in Messina. Basically, what he did is he hopped what they call a puddle jumper from Boston, and it flies actually right into Messina. He spent an hour signing autographs and posing for pictures with fans at the Mojo Rising Tattoo Parlor in downtown Messina. Then he headed for Malone, which is about 35, 40 miles to the east, where he did the same for an hour at the YMCA. Justin Berry, Malone owner and operator of the Adirondack Pro Wrestling Federation, said Lethal's appearance was part of the Headlock on Hunger effort, with a share of the proceeds going to the Barnabas House Homeless Services and Shelter of Malone. Food donations were also welcome at both events. Although the Barnabas House is not a walk-in shelter, it serves hundreds each year in its six-room, 10-bed shelter facility. Even more of its clients receive preventative services and assistance. The organization receives 10% of its funding from government or private grants, 20% from per diems and Department of Social Services payments, and 70% from community sources, including individual North Country residents, churches, and local businesses. Lethal says wrestlers are involved in promoting awareness of organizations like Barnabas House and raising funds for them. If you do at least one a week when you work for the mainstream companies like the WWE, he said, Ring of Honor is just starting to do it. A six-time X Division and one-time World Tag Team Champion with TNA, Mr. Lethal now wrestles for Ring of Honor, where he is the World Television Champion. Lethal, an Elizabethtown, New Jersey native, now lives in Florida. Most of my family lives in New Jersey. I moved 3 years ago to Florida. I love wearing my flip-flops every day, he said. Following his North Country appearance, Lethal said he was headed home for 2 or 3 days before going to Baltimore, Maryland for a Ring of Honor television taping. Ring of Honor Wrestling is headquartered in Baltimore, he said, and they're frequently on the road. One of their upcoming road shows will be held in Chicago. I'm probably home 3, or if I'm lucky, 4 days out of the week, he said. Berry told Messina fans who were waiting in line before Lethal arrived that there would be other autograph sessions in the future. A series of events are going to be held. I don't want you to think wrestling is dead, he said. I'm going to stay on top of this Because if it's one thing that this area needs, this North Country area where I reside, it is a good, strong wrestling presence. World War Wrestling, which was a promotion out of Messina, and there's a video out there. Ladies and gentlemen, I dare you to try to find this video. Good luck trying to find it. But there was an event many years ago. I would say it had to have been, oh my goodness, sometime between 2002 and 2007. I think it was more like 2005, 2006. I want to say 2006. Where I was invited to a World War Wrestling event. We were still at 99 hits at the time. Excuse me. I was invited to a World War Wrestling event to cover. And the owner of the organization invited me and he said, you know, would you like to come in the ring? Would you like to do a storyline? I said, I'm going to have my kids with me. I really don't know. He said, oh, come on. You'll do fine. You just come in. And we'll have you do a little fun. It'll be great. I said, okay, fine. My wife didn't know. My kids didn't know what was going on. And I didn't want to tell them. So about halfway through the card, they invite me into the ring. And this is the Power Andy Knowles from 99 Hits, the Pro Wrestling Rewind. And I did my little thing and I waved to the crowd. And one of the wrestlers... I can't remember his name now. One was a clown, and I can't remember who the other wrestler was, but I remember he was a class act. He was a really nice guy. And he said, okay, well, we're going to have a limbo contest. Would you be willing to announce do the limbo contest? I said, sure, yeah, that's fine. Okay, he said, so go ahead and hold one of the sticks, and we'll go ahead, we'll do the limbo. You lower it down every time. I said, okay, fine. So they do three turns, and the clown... goes, and I guess the clown and the other wrestler were supposed to be friends. The clown goes and he grabs the stick and he wallops the wrestler from behind.
Wow.
Now, he tagged him. I was there. He tagged him. So my part in all of this was to try to get the clown off of the guy. Now, keep in mind, I was about 265. I had just gained some weight back. I was about 265 when I was at this event. So I'm trying to pull the guy off, and then the clown gets into my face. And he starts pointing at me. I said, look, man, I said, I got my wife. I got my kids here. I don't want any trouble. So he lays back and tries to nail me one. I block it. And, of course, what, you're in a professional wrestling ring. What are you going to do? I blocked it. I gave him a shot right back. I gave him three shots, actually. My kids, my older two, all right, Little Power and Power Pack, are screaming at the top of their lungs because they don't know. My wife is freaking out because the higher power, she doesn't know what's going on. I'm giving this clown three shots, and he comes at me, and I body slam him.
Now, was professionally recorded.
This was professionally recorded.
I gotta find
there,
it.
I'm telling you, good luck. Good luck. World War Wrestling. Good luck if you can find it. It was uploaded, and I haven't been able to find Corey Lachon, the owner of the organization. I know he's still around here, but him and I don't keep in touch anymore. And I know it was uploaded somewhere. But if you've ever wanted to know what I look like. And you know I don't put my picture online. That's about the only way you're going to find out. So to make the long story short, I body slam the clown, and the clown is down. I'm going over to the other guy, and I'm like, are you okay? I'm like, you really took a shot. And he points over, and he said, he's coming back after you. And so I turn around, and the clown is ready to come back. So the other guy gets up and nails him with a couple shots, and he grabs the clown by one side, and I grab the clown by the other side, and I throw the clown out of the ring. Or I should say him and I threw the clown out. And you know what? It was really a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. And it was nice that World War Wrestling would have allowed me to have been part of that. And it was funny because the television, the gentleman who was doing the taping said over the loudspeaker, he goes, I didn't realize, Andy, that you were that strong. And I answered, I said, neither did I. It was a fun event. If you get an opportunity to go and work these events, and I know that JJ has done, I think Trey may have done one. I honestly don't remember. I think I heard him say it's really a lot of fun to get involved in these. And I have no desire, before I start getting a million emails, I have no desire to be a professional wrestler, physically go in the ring. I am far too old for that now. But, you know, and excuse me, it really would be nice to get back in and do something for a sport that really has given so much to me. And I could not thank the guys at World War Wrestling. As a matter of fact, I don't even know if we still have that program archived somewhere. I'll double check and see. It was when we were at 99 Hits. And I don't know if I have those archives anymore. If I get some time and a life, I'll go and I'll double check. But, you know, this thing now, the Adirondack Pro Wrestling Federation now has an opportunity to do something that World War Wrestling, you know, a lot of the guys that did this, a lot of them were volunteer and they moved on. And I really think here that Justin Berry has a tremendous opportunity to do something great with this organization. And there was a website as well that you can check out, and I think it's AdirondackProWrestlingFederation.com. If you bear with me 2 seconds, I just want to go, and on my luck, I'm going to give you the wrong. T, give me just 2 seconds here.
Well, while the Power Andy Knowles does that, who else doesn't think that next month we're going to see Andy's debut? I can see it now. The pyrotechnics. Andy coming out.
No, it wasn't. No. It wasn't pyrotechnics. I was in the crowd. I was in the crowd. I was sitting. They had the bleachers set up, and my wife and my kids and I, we were sitting in the front row. There was no pyro. They did have a great setup, though. I will say this. They had a little Titantron going on, and the guys came through the curtains, and it was a small venue. But they really did a phenomenal job setting that up. But anyway, I'm sorry. Continue.
Just admit you signed with Vince. That's why you're even bringing this up.
Oh, God, no. No, no, no.
Signed with Vince, and they're going to put you in a feud with Doink. I see it coming.
Why do I even try?
I could just see you coming out as the guy. Your gimmick could be you hate clowns. You do some cross-promotion with McDonald's. Ronald comes in there. You beat the hell out of him. Bozo comes in from, you know, Ringling Brothers. You beat the hell out of him. And then in one epic scene, we have a car pull up to the ring and 30 clowns get out and take the power down.
Oh, good Lord. It's the Adirondack Pro Wrestling Federation.com. You can go. You can check them out. You can also like them on Facebook, although my guess is that Facebook must be awful new because Justin doesn't have a lot. There's a great write-up on the Ring of Honor television champion. Brian Kendrick and Paul London have been involved with this group, along with Jay Lethal. There's even a link on the headlock on Hunger. Do yourself a favor. Just go and check it out. Actually, they just recently signed, did the APWF, Chris Cruz, a Quebec-based wrestler who is going to be coming on. I'm going to keep an eye on this federation. I think there's something here that could really make a difference to this area. I'm talking northern Vermont, Plattsburgh, the Tri-Lakes, Lake Placid area, my neck of the woods, Watertown. Because right now, the only federation that even comes up here is 2CW. That's the only federation that comes up here. And the APWF could really, really fill a niche in this market. So I had asked Justin Berry if he wanted to come on the program. He respectfully declined. He said, I want to wait. I'd like to wait until I have something to promote. And I said, that's perfectly fine. I said, you get yourself something to promote, and I will give you an open forum here on the rewind. I guess we'll just have to ask him not to bring clowns.
Right.
You know, I just you know what? I just realized that we've gone ridiculously over on this segment. What else is new, right? It wouldn't be the first time that we've gone and gone ridiculously over on a segment. So let's do this. Let's take a break. When we come back, you want to talk about this war of words between Mick Foley and what's his nuts?
Oh, he's so indie. I don't even remember his name. Dean Ambrose. And this thing's heating up, and I'm going to say it's a work, but reading more into it, maybe not. I don't know.
Okay, we'll take a break. A short break. We'll be right back. It's the Pro Wrestling Rewind right here on the SNS Radio Network.
This is the Pro Wrestling Rewind.
Not getting enough TNA wrestling? It's time to join TNAOnDemand.com. The place to access over 300 hours of classic TNA programming. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. TNAOnDemand.com is the ultimate resource for pay-per-views and exclusive TNA programming. Log on to gain instant access to every TNA DVD ever released. Go to TNAOnDemand.com to get started right now.
Hey, everybody, this is Jerry Crisco. I'm on this fantastic program, Pro Wrestling Rewind. You, too, can listen and participate. All you got to do is go to the website to the SNS Network.
Back on the Pro Wrestling Rewind here on the SNS Radio Network, the power Andy Knowles and the Bronx Father Tony Mirabella. What now? You've got something. Go ahead, T.
Well, I read this on the Bleacher Report, which I thank you because they are an excellent website, by the way. If you guys haven't checked them out, definitely check out the Bleacher Report because they've got not just wrestling, but any sport you could you could be interested in. Basically, Mick Foley started some type of feud or on-air segment with Dean Ambrose, who is right now apparently in the WWE minor leagues. And it escalated to them tweeting back and forth. And I don't have the tweets in front of me, but I have what Mick wrote on his blog the other day, where he says, look, I've been accused from time to time of taking some things in the business a little too seriously. Maybe I do. But like that sailor man of old, I am who I am, and that's all that I am. After all these years, there are some things that just bother me. Remember Kane Dewey promo from 1995, so many are still fond of. Mick Foley basically goes on to say that that crossed the line, and he goes further to talk about what this man, Dean Ambrose, actually said. He requested that Dean Ambrose kind of tone it down and not talk about his family, but, quote, less than a day after making my request, I saw that my children were once again the subject of his tweets, reference to how I might feel differently about something if my children were in wheelchairs. Maybe I would have cut a heck of a promo about it in 95. 17 years later, I just want to get the blank away from the whole scenario. It's not fun. It's not cutting edge. It just sucks. You know, I would have to think if this was legit. Look, I know Foley and Vince aren't on the best of terms, but if this was legit, even a guy like Triple H would have this kid's rear end kicked for talking about Mick Foley's family. I can't see this guy, Dean Ambrose, being stupid enough to talk about, and Mick's a guy, I consider him a legend. Whoever disagrees with me, that's fine. He's one of my favorites. And to talk about this guy's kids like that he wants to be in a wheelchair, try that down here in the city and you'll probably end up in a gutter somewhere being identified. You know, you don't say those things. And my opinion is it's got to be a work. It has to be.
Okay.
You know, but I don't know, to say you want someone's kids to be in wheelchairs. I mean, come on.
Well, it's no different than, you know, who was it that was coming out and cracking jokes about Jerry Lawler's mother passing away? Who was that? Was that The Miz? Who was it? I mean, everybody's going to try to push the envelope. It's the nature of the business. There are some things that should be taboo and just shouldn't be touched, but it still happens.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, it is what it is. I'll be honest with you. I really haven't followed this. And I don't know if it's because of lack of interest in Mick Foley or, you know, lack of interest in the whole storyline. I think it's a work too. I think it's They're trying to get a push, you know, on this kid, and make something of it, you know, when he's called up. What do I know?
I mean, yeah, maybe they're. I mean, I'll be honest with you.
I'm just a guy. I'm just a guy that body slams clowns. I mean, what the hell do I know?
Yeah. And by the way, you know, breaking news.
Jesus, here we go.
Andy Knowles' new theme song in the WWE, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, like hell. Like freaking hell. No, I'll tell you what. Oh, you, it's funny. You know what? Go ahead and keep going. I'm sorry. Continue. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I'm thinking you're right. They're going to bring this kid up, and Mick Foley's not doing anything else. So, yeah, bring it in. I mean, they're willing to get serious. Look at what's going on with, with CM Punk and Chris Jericho with this whole alcoholism thing. And, you know, they're getting a little more serious. They're actually getting a little more attitude error if you look at it.
You know, I thought Jericho had a valid point last Monday. Here comes CM Punk, Mr. Straight Edge, walking out of the pub. You know, I hate to say the word hypocrite, but Jericho has a point.
And there was more news to that, Andy. I had heard that it was reported somewhere that at the time, check this out, the time Punk was supposedly in the pub, it was reported by a lady they were not serving food at that time.
So his story that he went in for some fish and chips, you know, yep, and a Coca-Cola, you're pretty much a flush down the toilet.
Well, I had said from the beginning, you know, show it. I know it's not funny to see, but I think you could get away with it. Make, if you make him a fun drunk, a funny drunk, I think you could have some fun with it. Have the guy sip iced tea. See, it's too late now because the pay-per-view is less than 2 weeks away, but it would have been great for like 3-4 weeks. Punk stumbling around drunk, you know. Jericho's laughing, he keeps attacking him, thinks he has it, and then at the pay-per-view, you know, Punk stumbles down to the ring and then reaches into his pocket, pulls out a bottle of Snapple and says, "This is what I've really been drinking, you idiot." Bust Jericho over the head with it and start the match.
Why the hell not?
Yeah, well, he's been working Jericho all this time. It could be so cool, but they don't have enough time now.
Did you hear that Jack Daniels is trying to sue the WWE over the breaking of the bottle? You know, this poor bottle of Jack, it just didn't have a chance to live.
That's candy glass, please.
He just destroyed it. Yeah, but I'll tell you, that was a damn good rendition of a Jack Daniels bottle, in my opinion. I thought, didn't you think that was phenomenal?
Yeah, it looked
damn good. Man, where do you find a sugar glass? And first off, it didn't hit his head. My kids were all freaking out, hit him in the head. I'm like, no, it didn't hit him in the head. He bloody well hit the ring. He hit the ring post.
I think the second one or the first, it broke before Jericho even made contact because that stuff is like paper thin. You know, you shake it around, it's going to break. So I don't know. But yeah, it did look pretty legit. I mean, it reminded me of the candy jar that good old JR broke over the head of Taz. And Taz proceeded to yell at the end of the match, "There's something in my eye. There's something in my eye." It's candy glass, folks.
Oh, my word. You know, it's Power Pack was on the computer the other day. And he said, "Dad, you need new theme." You're talking about theme music. He actually created theme music for me for WWE 12. And I thought he did, honestly, I thought he did a damn good job. And if the stupid thing would load, I could bloody well share it with you. And I will. I will share it with you once I can get the stupid thing. Oh, wait a second. I guess now it's finally going to load. You mean to tell me it's actually going to work? Well, I'll be no, it's not going to work because it's not where it's supposed to be. All right. Well, I guess you don't get to hear it. You don't get to hear it. Sucks to be you. You're not at all disappointed. Hello?
Was it?
Hello,
was
is this on? Hello, are you there?
Yes, sir. Was it? No, I'm trying. I was just thinking about what the theme music would have sounded like. I apologize.
Actually,
for the air for a moment.
I don't want. You know what? I do. I dare. Hang on a sec. Give me your next. Go ahead. What else did you want to talk about?
Well,
what else did you have on tap?
There are a couple of news stories at a site that Anthony Farley in the chat made me aware of earlier. Two of them are rather interesting. TNA Impact Wrestling X Division champion and former ROH world champion Austin Aries recently did an interview with sportsvibe.co.uk, which can be read in its entirety. I'll be really honest with you. The Ring of Honor today is not anything like the Ring of Honor that the likes of CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, and myself came from.
No. Get right out of town.
Obviously, they are still operating under the same name, but the company has changed so much over the years, and it's really a shell of its former self in terms of the vision and thought process. The original Ring of Honor and the Ring of Honor today are two completely different things. I like to call it Smoky Mountain of Honor.
Smoky Mountain. Nice. Keep going.
On this same site, another interesting article, considering the buy rate of WrestleMania, WWE stock closed today at a 7.96, which is the lowest stock price since 7.95 in April of 2003.
God bless America.
The company has 66.83% of its value. The company has, I'm sorry, 66.83% of its value since going public in 1999. Is a little poorly written. Basically, it means that they're about...
It's a buy now, ladies and gentlemen. Now, if you're going to buy WWE stock, now's the time.
They're about 30... in other words, what I'm taking is they're about 34% more worthless than they were back then. The stock has lost about 34% since... They should have never went public.
No arguments from me.
You know, and that's part of it, because it took control away from that family company, because now you've got, you know, stockholders you have to answer to.
But, you know, I really don't want to have to go in this direction. I really don't. But I'm getting forced, ladies and gentlemen. I've got to say it. Your problem is your announcer. He can't make anything exciting. Everything sounds like crap. And nobody wants to listen to him. That is why nobody is watching. You know, a 3.1 used to be decent in the summer, and if they weren't hitting 3.7s, 3.8s, or 4s when the snow fell, then there was something wrong. Well, people aren't watching anymore because they're getting tired of Cole. I'm sorry, but Jim Ross could make anybody sound exciting. Gordon Solie can make anybody sound exciting. Okay? There could be a big pile of dog crap in the middle of the ring, and Jim Ross could spin the way that dog crap looked to make you think it was the absolute best-looking piece of dog crap you've ever seen, and that a solid gold pooch laid it out on the ring for you. And it was the Ric Flair of crap. And there isn't a piece of crap out there that could touch it, because it was the best crap there was. And you'd believe it. You would believe it. But now you got Michael Cole out there sucking up to all his little bum buddies out there. And people are sick of it. Nobody cares anymore. Nobody cares. People want Michael Cole thrown out, thrown away, thrown in jail. All right? Assaulted in some manner that we can't discuss on this program, but it does involve him bending over and grabbing the ankles. Okay? If the problem at the big, If you eliminate everything, Vince, whatever's left, no matter how improbable, must be the truth. Let Cole go. Make him go away. You want to save your product. You want to find something new? Who does the announcing for FCW?
I don't get FCW. I don't watch FCW, okay. So I'm not sure.
I would venture a guess. Actually, no, I don't even want to use FCW. That's probably a bad example. Who did the announcing for OVW?
I wouldn't know that either. I just don't watch those shows because they're not regularly televised, and I don't often go on YouTube looking for, you know, independent shows. But, you know, you could even put a guy like Mike Tenay. I'm not saying he was the, you know, the greatest.
Oh, here they come. Bronx, duck. Duck.
Oh, now that the weather's getting warmer, forget about it. Oh,
where's the hail of gunfire? Damn, I was hoping for a hail of gunfire.
Thanks. I appreciate that.
No, I'm just, you know, it's not the same without a hail of gunfire. You get the police sirens and you get the da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
And then you'd be going solo.
No, I wouldn't, because you would have ducked. I told you to duck.
Like, I could continue doing a show after nearly being killed. Well, my window was blown out, but let's keep going.
No. Trey continued his program when the police were breaking down his door. What's a little gunfire?
True. got a gun pulled on his girlfriend. Yeah, they kept going. You're right.
Oh, my word. Shifty in the chat room says Mike Tenay is worse than Michael Cole, and then says, bring Scott Hudson back. I'd go for, yeah, I can handle Scott Hudson.
Oh, yeah.
I most definitely. Anybody is better than the male secretion spewing garbage that comes out of Michael Cole's mouth.
It's a shame after the Attitude Era, Vince McMahon could never go back to just being an impartial announcer, because I give him credit. He was damn good, too, back in the day.
What is this? I apologize. I was somewhat. What is this? I apologize. I'm being distracted here by the chat room, and I know that's not very professional of me. Scary Clown Brian Pepper's theme. What is this? Anthony, if the Power does want to become a wrestler and wants to do this whole clown thing, he should use this music video. I could be the clown. I could be the clown killer. What do you think of that?
That sounds good.
The clown killer.
The clown killer.
No, killer.
Can't you just see them dressing Cole up as a clown and you coming out and attacking him?
Just beat the living. Just try to beat the man back into him. Get his man card back from Syracuse University and say, here, shove it down his throat like Ted DiBiase. This is so getting off topic right now. This is so getting on. You know, there were other things that we wanted to talk about as well this week that we are slowly, the programming is degenerating. According to the Wrestling Observer newsletter, as recently as last week, WWE officials had reportedly considered David Otunga for a run at the U.S. title. The plan was to take the belt off Santino after WrestleMania, and some within the company are surprised that he hasn't lost it yet. Santino is a credible U.S. champion. I don't particularly care for the Cobra, but it's knocking guys out, and he's getting wins. He won a title defense in a triple threat match against a former U.S. champion and a former ECW champion. What does that say about the man?
Well, at least he's defending it.
Absolutely. At least he's gone out, you know, for the stupid little shifty walk. And, oh, by the way, thank you, Santino. Thank you. My wife, who's a school teacher, caught my youngest son, Redheaded Power, walking down the hallway doing the Santino strut. Jesus. No, that wasn't a praise. Jesus. Praise God. No, that wasn't that. That was a Jesus. Please, Santino, come on. Walk like you got a set, Santino. Please walk like you got a set. Oh God.
But I could see Otunga as a good U.S. champion too.
I know, but I don't want to see him as the, honestly, I'm He's probably going to end up winning a title at some point. It's an eventuality. You know, him and Johnny Ace are getting all chummy, and they got to use Johnny Ace to get him over. It's an eventuality. You know what I could see? It really wouldn't surprise me if instead of the U.S. title, they put him in a deal with the Big Show. Oh, by the way, speaking of the Big Show, did you catch the non-title tag match this past week with Show and Kali? Yeah. Damn, man. They're your tag team champions right there. I could see that. Drop the Intercontinental belt to Otunga and knock out Epico and Primo for the tag titles. Oh, that would make my day.
It almost makes me wonder, seeing that match, if how much of the, and you want to talk about Twitter's, you know, being a work or a shoot.
Yeah.
You know, of course, Epico and Primo talking about, and I think they had some valid points, how they weren't on WrestleMania, how they weren't on TV. But you know what? If they did do that out of anger, that match could have been seen as punishment, because they just got the hell beat out of the Monday night.
They were basically handed their own man cards. The only good thing about that entire match was Rosa Mendez.
Yeah, definitely.
Seriously, Rosa Mendez was the only reason to watch that match.
Yeah, Epico and Primo doesn't do a lot for me. And I've mentioned this before. I don't like where the WWE will kind of insult a race without exactly insulting it. I mean, come on, these guys are Puerto Rican. They're coming out on bicycles and just, it's like, I don't think that appeals to that demographic the way that they think it does. I mean, it would be like me if they had a guy coming out and while walking to the ring, he was carrying a pizza and eating spaghetti. And Vince might say, oh, well, the Italians will love it. It's funny. Well, not really. It's, you know, I don't get easily offended, but I can imagine some Puerto Ricans getting offended by that angle.
I completely understand. I could see that, too. So why not go and punish the two guys that opened their mouths, actually exercise their constitutional amendment of free speech, and have them drop the titles to the Big Show and the Great Khali? Why not? This is America. Why not? Let's go ahead and let's punish the two guys and the hot girl for exercising their First Amendment right to say whatever the hell they wanted by going ahead and forcing them to drop the belts. There's nothing more American than that, in my opinion. Nothing more American.
Well, I'm wondering if I think Show Khali was just a one-time deal.
Oh, I hope not. Oh, man, I hope not. I marked out for that. I marked out for that the way I marked. When the Big Show, didn't he have a big, it was a Big Show and Kane? Weren't they the tag champs at one point?
Yes, they were.
Yeah, I was, you know, the big guy tag team champ, like the Road Warrior tag team champs. The guys that nobody can touch. And don't you think the Great Khali has done enough jobbing and enough BS he deserves? If Santino Marella can get away with the crap he's been getting away with for the past 15 years, taking it on the chin, bending over, grabbing the ankles, and they give him a U.S. title run, don't you think the Great Khali deserves a title run? When was the last time the Great Khali held a belt?
Well, the tag team division is small enough now, and you know, I don't think Khali looks like a guy to me who unfortunately is in some level of pain. You know,
I believe
he's a big guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, but
would he even understand, not to interrupt you, but would he even understand what the belt meant?
Oh, yeah.
Khali, this is a tag team championship belt. How? Would he even understand what it is?
You know what would be awesome?
Khali, belt, champion.
Oh, what I'd love to see. You want a fantasy book? I got one for you.
I'm going to get in trouble for that. Go ahead.
And Khali gets on the mic and in perfect English just goes nuts and says, you know, I've been dealing with this nonsense for the past 4 or 5 years.
Here, here.
Now I've got another big killer with me, and that's exactly what we're going to do. We're going to keep these titles, and we're going to paralyze anyone who gets in our way. The day of the Punjabi goof is over. We're two big guys, and you're not taking these belts. Oh, can you imagine the mark-out moment that would be?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It would be... Oh man, trying to think of something that would even be remotely close to it. Yeah, I mean, just coming out and using the Queen's English, and stating for the record that he and the Big Show will be keeping the titles indefinitely, and there's not a team anywhere bad enough on the planet to take the belts from us.
That wasn't exactly how I pictured that promo
tonight on the BBC.
You're killing me.
I know. Killing me softly with his words, killing my home. I could have been the world's greatest lounge singer. But anyway, I digress. Let me see what other news. You know, we've got to go to the phone lines pretty soon here, too. We're just trucking along. Oh, Tracy Brooks gone from TNA. And a part of me died when I heard this. Tracy Brooks, who's been on this program, class act. Didn't she just do a Playboy spread, but it wasn't in Playboy? They did it online?
I'm not sure, but if she did,
Anthony would know.
I would not mind looking at that.
Anthony would know. We'll ask. Anthony will call in, I'm sure, and Anthony will know if Tracy Brooks has been in Playboy or not.
Hell, Anthony may have been the cameraman.
Oh, absolutely. I'd believe it. Eric Bischoff being written off TNA TV at the Lockdown pay-per-view. He will still be working backstage as a top executive for the company, doing absolutely nothing. Good for him. Kevin Nash posting on his Twitter account, just got done with Raw. Punk needs to keep the belt at least until next May. What is old is new now. Let him have the love affair with the fans. Make them pat to see him get beat. Make it epic. Make a heel. We've seen him as a heel. He's a great heel. And I think it's going to be like an Edge situation where, you know, he'll be a face for a while, but he may be a stronger heel than anything else. I was surprised to see this Wrestling Observer Newsletter reporting James Storm originally planned to win the World Heavyweight title at Lockdown from Bobby Roode, but some felt it wasn't the right decision and the plan was changed within the past 2 weeks. Well, sorry about your damn luck. What the hell does James Storm have to do to get the TNA World title around his waist, for Christ's sake? What the hell much more... What does this man, what is it? Not that Bobby Roode isn't a credible champion, but I thought the idea here was to have them trade the belts back and forth for a while because they know that these are your two premier guys in TNA right now.
No.
I disagree.
Because.
Yes.
I disagree because.
Come on, say it with me. Yes. You know, you've been saying yes on the Facebook page for like the past 2 weeks. Come on, say it with me. Come on, T.
Okay.
Yes. Thank you. T continues.
But you know what? People like to see a baby face chase, and the longer Roode holds that title, the more people are going to hate him, and the more people are going to go absolutely nuts when Storm finally does win it. I mean, my deal is we've gotten so used to titles being traded, like you said, back and forth, and that illegitimizes the title. But when one heel holds it for a while, and you just, it was like The Miz, when The Miz had his lengthy WWE title run, you couldn't wait to see The Miz lose that belt. And that's what's happening with Robert Roode. Believe me, Storm's going to get it. It's just a matter of time. Do I mind them dragging it out even a little longer? No, I like seeing a baby face chase.
Okay. All right. I guess I'm done with that. Let's see what else we got going on here. No. TNA changes. We already talked about that. Yes. I wanted to get into this here. Oh, wait a second. I just lost it. I'm sorry. Hulk Hogan's big announcement on TNA Impact Wrestling coming this week. Impact will change its name, calling itself Open Fight Night, in which a talent from outside TNA will have a match to earn a slot on the roster. Three judges and ultimately Hogan will decide whether the talent receives a TNA contract. On Open Fight Night, anyone on the current TNA roster can challenge anyone else, and the person must be ready to fight. This includes champions being ready to defend his or her title. I got a major problem with that. A major problem with that. There should you don't have contenders. You know what? It's always the challengers that are trying to dictate the rules, trying to dictate the match. I'm sorry, but I got a problem. TNA should not be allowing that. They should not be allowing talent to come out and challenge any championship for a title. Let them bloody well earn it. I got a major problem with that. Now, this I did like. TNA's television title, which is currently held by Brother D-Von, to be defended every week on Impact Wrestling. That's great. But D-Von should be defending the television title every match that he's in, every singles match that he's in. Okay? The television championship, the way it's supposed to be set up, is every singles match you wrestle, you defend the belt. You put the belt on the line. But every other aspect of the match, you dictate. Time limits, length of the matches, your opponents, everything else, the champion dictates. And that's the way it should be. I think TNA really is dropping the ball with that TNA title by not allowing the champions to dictate the terms. Tully Blanchard was a great television champion because he dictated the terms. 10-minute matches, whenever he wrestled singles, 10, 20 minutes. It was very, very unusual to see a match of his go more than 20 minutes on a time limit, simply because with 10 minutes or 20 limits, you can stall for time. Anything over 20 minutes, it's very, very difficult to make that kind of a stall. There's an angle that TNA needs to use. I just gave you a championship run right there that a champion could use. Let's see if TNA uses it.
Well, we'll see. I mean, I agree. I like, you know, it's the television title, which means it should be defended whenever that champ is on television. You know, that's the way it's been with a TV title in every company. I have no problem with that. As far as the fight night thing goes, they're just trying all different things. You know, and TNA's been doing this, you know, throwing the spaghetti at the wall and seeing if it's done. Does it stick? I don't have too much of a problem with them changing things up. I'm one of those people, after I see it, I'll comment on it. Let's see where it goes, you know, before we all get upset about it. Like, you know, that's something else. Like last Sunday's pay-per-view, which I thought was very good. You know, they're going to get dogged on no matter what they do. You know, they could bring the dead back to life, and they're still going to get dogged that they didn't buy, you know, the people who came back to life new clothes. So they're trying different things, but unfortunately, I think that no matter what they do, you know, Dixie Carter, I invented a way to turn a pound of lead into 20 pounds of gold. The IWC will complain about it. So, you know, I'll save my judgment until I actually see it, and then I'll let you know what I think.
You know, you talk about the TNA Television Championship being the only title to be defended on TV. You know what? There should not be world championship defenses or world tag team title defenses on Impact, period. Those title defenses should be saved for house shows or for pay-per-views. Maybe you get an X Division title thrown in, but, you know, it goes back to what we talked to the early part of the program. You never saw the champions defend on television. If you did, it was something special. But now, because our attention spans are about the length of, oh dear God, I don't know. Give me something to compare it to.
Michael Cole's anatomy.
Exactly. the federations, the organizations have been forced to give us title matches on a regular basis, which has depleted and exhausted the importance of the championships. You can have the champions come on TV, but how often did you see members of the Four Horsemen, I'm going to use that as an example, go out and defend the titles in the NWA Worldwide Wrestling events? They never did. If Hogan wrestled on TV, it was a damn miracle. It hardly ever happened. You had to be on a Clash of the Champions or a Saturday night's main event to make those things happen, and then they were special. So if you saw the champions, the tag champions come out, it's because they were going to go out and squash somebody. If you saw the Intercontinental champion come out, once again, it was to squash somebody. That's the way it was. TNA, I think, is really making a stride here, but whether they'll follow up on it remains to be seen. You know, if we don't hurry up and get some phone calls here, we're going to run out of time.
Well, to answer that real quick, three words: Monday Night Wars. That changed everything. Once Vince got competition, you know, that's when you started seeing title defenses. And in one of the most asinine, and I was a huge WCW mark, one of the stupidest things Eric Bischoff ever did in his life was have a title change between Goldberg and Hogan, a match everyone was waiting to see on free TV. But that's what the Monday Night Wars did.
It forced the organizations to do things that they never would have had to do before. And right. Now look what we've got. We've got what we've got. And it is what it is. If you want to be on the program, T, how do you do so?
I am not aware of the status of the 1-800 numbers. So as of right now, call 501-588-7957. That's 501-588-7957. If you have Skype and you really want to be risky, add Sunday Night Showdown to your Skype and you can call us that way directly.
SNS Radio Network. Look for the SNS Radio Network and you should be able to scoot through there. We'll go ahead and we will open up the phone lines for you. Brock and Cena, do I really give a damn at this point?
Too soon. I do give a damn, but it's too soon. I like both men's promos from last Monday night, but you know, this should have been dragged out just a little longer. I mean, the guy's been back for 2-3 weeks and now, you know, he's going to headline a pay-per-view with Cena. It should have been dragged out more. I still do want to see it. And I, you know, I'll probably mark out for it. But I would have liked, you know, you just went from a 365-day build to a one-month build. I mean, you know, make up your mind. You want to do long-term or short-term booking? One or the other.
I'm already exhausted with the storyline. They haven't even had a match yet. You know, Brock comes out in London and start spewing garbage. That some of the things that they had to delete. All right, some of the things they had to delete. And somebody needs to get a memo to Brock Lesnar. This is not the Attitude Era. Not by any stretch of the imagination.
Well, if you bleep it out. I don't have a problem with it if you bleep it out. What they're trying to do is make him look scary. And Cena admitted it himself. He said, you know what? Yeah, I'm a man. I'll admit it. I'm going to fight. But yeah, I'm scared. They're bringing him in as a legitimate badass.
I don't care. You know what? You know who this really hurts? I feel bad for Cena. I feel bad for the little kids that look up to Cena. Because let's face it. John Cena's been getting his ass handed to him. He just got his ass handed to him again this past Monday night when Prince Albert, he got beat by Prince Albert.
See, and I'm loving it.
I'm not.
I'm loving it. After 6 years of seeing Cena beat everyone, including, I'll go down the list, Superman, the Hulk, Jesus, Iron Man. Yeah, at some point, this guy has to be shown to be mortal. And I'll tell you, I'm calling it right now. I'm betting you Brock goes over at the pay-per-view.
Oh, I'm sure Brock's going to go over. It wouldn't surprise me in the least if Brock goes over, and I'm really not going to care. I hate to say this, but John Cena's done. John Cena is done. And you know, it's not going to matter at this point anymore. It won't. Because John Cena has just had some of the absolute... John Cena has had the worst month that I can remember. He's had one of the worst years that I can remember in recent memory. I hate to say it, but I think the aura of John Cena at this stage in the game is dead. Let's go to line one, Pro Wrestling Rewind. Go ahead, Anthony. Line one, go ahead. Yep, church is in session. Everybody bow your heads. Bow your heads, yep. Thank you, Anthony.
Now the church can start.
Praise God! What's up?
Sorry, I had to do that after what happened last week.
Yeah, I'm sure you were all choked up about it, but go ahead.
Yeah, funny. As Bronx mentioned, I did post on something on the chat about Austin Aries saying that ROH is really somewhat considered, in his opinion, a former shell of itself. And I have to agree. Because I did see some of the matches prior to that with Punk, Joe, all that were main guys, and those were amazing matches. Now, it's still good, but it's like a whole different thing. Like, WWE is now to, let's say, 5-10 years ago.
I guess it really, if you were in Ring of Honor back in the Bryan Danielson days and the CM Punk days, and once again, this goes back to what we were talking about. You know, there's a lot of folks that are fans of the Attitude Era, that are fans of the Federation Era, you know, fans of the late 70s, early 80s, the Bob Backlund era, you know, and it comes in spurts. But is it really for one wrestler to decide, you know, what is or what isn't good for the organization that they worked for?
And another thing is, because Aries was during that time when he considered the golden age of ROH. I'm not saying that he has no fact to what he was saying, but it's not completely true. It's just his opinion. And opinions are like assholes. Everyone has one.
Oh, there's one for the swear jar.
Smells like shit.
There's two. You keep it going. No, I hear what you're saying. I just don't think it's too... Oh, my goodness. Somebody's in an airplane. Oh,
that's not me.
That wasn't you? First, you're in the church, and now you're in an airplane? You have a flying church.
The wonders of Skype. You know what I don't get? And you know, this kind of ticks me off. You've got a contract in one company, and this is the problem. What do you give a damn what another company is doing? If I work for Walmart and they're paying me well, I'm not going to go on TV and say, well, Kmart isn't what it used to be. I don't care. Care about where you are. You know, acknowledging the competition, ROH is competition for TNA. Not for the WWE, but for TNA, yes. Why even bring up or mention another company that's not giving you a paycheck anymore?
It's just how they are. I mean, Austin Aries is getting attention, but maybe he just wants to do this and maybe in his own way get ROH some attention as well.
I honestly think he's out of his mind, personally. But, you know, he makes, you know, his run in TNA, I will say this. I mean, I've been very impressed with his run in TNA.
Yeah.
I really can't say much bad about it. I mean, there's a big difference between what he's doing now and what he did in WSX. There's a huge difference. But I digress. Anthony, anything else before we let you go?
Yes, you were asking about it earlier. Yes, Tracy did a spread for Playboy. It was online, though, not in paper. And no, I was not the cameraman, even though I would have if they asked.
Even though you would, had they asked you, then you would have gone ahead, you would have done it.
Yeah, but it has Bronx. Unfortunately, you might just get a picture of the wall or something, knowing his vision.
You know, it's weird. I don't know what it is. Now, I can say this because she's Canadian and I'm Canadian. But there are very few. Oh, man, how can I say this tactfully? It seems to me, and it's probably because I have a bias being from British Columbia. But it seemed to me that and believe me, don't get me wrong, there are a lot of hot looking girls in British Columbia. Pam Anderson from Victoria is right up there. Don't get me wrong. But when it comes to women, if you were to base women's wrestling, professional wrestling on looks, And I know that's not, I would never advocate that here on the program.
Oh, no.
But it seems that the best looking female wrestlers have come from back east. They've all come from Ontario. And I'll even throw Maurice a bone in there too and say Quebec. Because you had Trish Stratus, who's from Ontario. You've got Tracy Brooks, who's from Ontario. Maurice is from Quebec. Need I say more? I mean, you know, there's a lot of good-looking women's wrestlers from Vancouver wrestle for ECCW. Really great looking. But the more famous ones tend to come out of Ontario. Just saying.
They should get the members of the Beach Boys that are still alive back together and do a song. I wish they all could be from Ontario. Wish they all could be from, as Trey would say, Canada.
Canada, is that what he says?
Yeah.
Oh, dear God. All right, Anthony, we got to let you go. All thanks right. for checking in, man. We all appreciate
right. it. All right, no problem.
Let's go Bye. To line two. You're on the Pro Wrestling Rewind. Go ahead.
Hey, guys, it's L Train.
L Train.
What's up, man?
It's time once again for everybody to come aboard the L Train. L Train be pimping hoes nationwide. So let's roll up a fatty for the Mac Daddy and light that blood up and say, pimping ain't easy. Come on, L Train, say it with me. Pimping ain't easy.
Pimping ain't easy.
There you go. What's going on tonight, sir?
Oh, man, I might have just found my new entrance gimmick. Holy
Absolutely.
Crap.
Don't you remember that with The Godfather? That was famous.
Well, I remember that. Heck, I saw him do it at Wrestle Reunion in L.A. this year after he won a Battle Royal. I got to see it firsthand.
Oh, did you really? That must have been awesome.
Oh, it was incredible. And seeing some of my other people out there joining up and being the Ho Train for one night, getting to see Shelly Martinez and Amber O'Neill, Becky Bayless, Angel Orsini, seeing everybody get up there and take part. It was a fun time seeing it out there, man.
Very cool, very cool. What would you like to discuss? Actually, you're going to end up being the last call tonight, so we're going to give you the last call. Go ahead.
Nice. Well, I have something I want to ask Bronx about since he just brought it up, but I'm curious, Andy, please tell me you were joking about Kali becoming a potential tag team champion.
I don't see why not. Hell, if they can give Santino, I meant what I said. If they can give Santino the U.S. belt after he's been goofing off, you know, bending over, grabbing the ankles, do what he's been told for the past year and a half, why the hell can't Kali get a belt? You're just going to have to explain to him what it is. Kali, belt!
Those things are like copper. He might try to take a bite out of it like a piece of chocolate or something.
Kali, belt! Tag champion! Belt! You!
No,
you know, I don't want to make... The man is very intelligent. He's very well-read in India. But that being said, you got to talk to him a little slow in English so he understands. Okay? Because I don't even think they have championship belts in India.
It's like a convenience store here in the city.
Oh, smack!
I want batteries. No, that's a razor.
Mirabella from downtown!
but I get what L Train's saying, but here's the thing. Had the tag titles now meant what they meant in the 90s and 80s, I would have been the first guy agreeing with you right here. But those belts, to me, right now, are worthless. So why not put them on two big guys who, you know, are going to come out and just beat everyone down? Because that's what they are. We don't have any legit tag teams anymore. It's just two guys that they throw together. I mean, you got the Usos, Epico, and Primo. And if I could find the chiclet I had the rest of the legit tag teams on, I'd read them off to you.
Well, I wouldn't go so far as saying that Primo and Epico were thrown together. I mean, you can see the ties there, like with them being family. But I also understand what you're saying, you know, how different the tag division is from back in the 80s and 90s. Like, the tag title, the belt change is sort of represented. I mean, look how flimsy and copperish the belts look now. That's sort of a representation of how the tag team division has gotten. But I give credit to Tito that they're finally letting him get a little more legit besides all the comedy gimmick stuff that he does. So I'm happy to let him get a legit run in. But as far as the question I actually wanted to ask about, Bronx brought up the whole thing where he disagreed about them showing Hogan and Goldberg for the world title on free TV. I actually wanted to throw a little spin on that. And Andy, I'm sure you're going to chime in on this also.
Yeah.
What's your opinion about I mean, I think that was one of the biggest moments in WCW seeing Goldberg beat Hogan for the title on free TV. What's your thought about them also doing that in WWE back when Mankind finally won the title for the first time after pinning The Rock?
They each have their own merits. They each have their own merits, and for Mick Foley, it was a huge moment. Don't get me wrong, but you know, Hogan had been running roughshod with the NWO, and here was Goldberg, the U.S. champion, going undefeated, and then all of a sudden, one night we turn on Nitro, and here it is. It's going to be for the title. I think, and it's no disrespect to Mick Foley, because I'm sure that was, you know, I mean, that's his one of his defining moments. But the Goldberg win, I think, had more relevance considering the venue where it was. It was in a dome. I can't remember specifically. It was in a what was the venue?
Was it in Atlanta?
It was in Atlanta, but I can't remember the name of the facility, but it was a huge facility.
Yeah, I'm racking my brain too, trying to remember
Somebody in the chat room can remind me where it was. But you know, the Mick Foley win, you know, wasn't in the Georgia Dome. Thank you. The who said that, by the way? It was Shifty. Man, Shifty's on the ball tonight. When you talk about the Mick Foley win, you're looking at a smaller venue. And at the time, the WWE was really on the ropes because WCW was, you know, smacking them around, you know, like a jobber. You know how the jobbers, you know, we're talking about the old 80s wrestlers, you know, the guys, the image enhancers. He was smacking them around like, you know, they're getting smacked around like image enhancement. And it just didn't have the same pop as Goldberg taking that world title and walking out with two belts.
Well, you know, I see that, but at the same time, you also think that seeing Mick win that on that night on Raw, that was the big change up for WWE taking back the lead in the ratings and holding on to it. What do you think, how do you think things would have been different if that win was actually on pay-per-view and it wasn't on Monday Night Raw?
Well, more asininity. If I'm not mistaken, I don't remember if that was pre-taped, but Mike Tenay, was it Mike Tenay? Yes, Mike was told.
No. I know what you're talking about. That was pre-taped because I think that was I think it was Tony Schiavone.
Schiavone.
And they had it with I know which line you're going with.
Okay. Tony Schiavone was told, and Mick Foley mentions this in his book. Now, you got to remember, if I have one interview in my radio career, I want it to be Mick Foley. He's probably one of my favorites just because I respect him not just for being a wrestler, but for his writing skills, which is something that I love to do as well. I really want to talk to Mick one day. But he was told to say, Mick Foley is going to win the WWE title tonight. Yeah, that's going to put some asses in seats. And what happened, everyone and their mother who was watching WCW immediately switched over to USA to see a guy who they had a lot of respect for win his first WWE title. That was a huge mistake on WCW's part.
Yeah, it finally... You know, the era where Eric Bischoff would go and try to give away the, you know, try to give away the spoilers and keep people with WCW, it backfired on him bad.
And, you know, actually, I believe it was, because I have the Monday Night Wars DVD, and Mick talks about that. I believe it was actually revealed that Bischoff told Tony Schiavone to say that, to throw in a lot of butts in the seats line.
Correct. And Schiavone didn't want to say that because he and Mick were friends. But the bottom line, back then, Bischoff was a McMahon-like figure. And face it, when your big boss, the CEO of your company, tells you to do something, you do it. And he unfortunately did it. But, you know, the ratings proved it. Nielsen proved that millions of people switched over to USA as soon as he said that. So, whoops.
Anything else, El Train, or if not, we'll let you go.
Yeah, that is it, man. very honored to have been the last caller for tonight, and hopefully I'll speak to you guys next week as well.
All right. Thanks a lot, L-Train. Appreciate the call.
Good night.
All right, peace, guys.
You know what? We went over on this show something terrible.
Well, only 5 minutes. We were having a good time. Yeah. Whenever, you and I, when we sit here and one of us makes the mistake of talking old school wrestling, we're going to go over. So we either have to avoid that or because, I'm like you, I miss the old days, but I'll, take what I have right now.
Absolutely. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's it. We're going to call it a night here. Another Pro Wrestling Rewind in the books. Catch all of the programs. Oh, by the way, Elite Force Podcast. You got to be checking that out. The 3-year anniversary Elite Force Podcast. And the Trey Dog is going to be on the program.
Oh, God.
There's a treat there. Walkie and the rest of them. Oh, it's going to be a big treat there. Elite Force Podcast. Make sure you catch that. Catch Unplugged this Friday, of course. Wrestling News Live on Monday. No pay-per-view this Sunday. So no Sunday Night Showdown. But make sure you catch Why, all the great programs here on the SNS Radio Network. Look for us on the Facebook page, the SNS Radio Network Facebook page, and the Pro Wrestling Rewind page. If you'd like to get in contact with us, prowrestlingrewind@yahoo.com, or you can message us on the Facebook page. Once again, T, as always, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
All right, Power. Had a good time as always, and I'll talk to you next week and talk to all of you next week. I'm radioed out for this week, so everyone have a good night.
All right, let's get out of here. It is the Pro Wrestling Rewind right here on the SNS Radio Network.
This is the Pro Wrestling Rewind.
We're going hopping today, where things are popping. The Philadelphia way, we're gonna drop it. And all the music they play on the bandstand. We're going swinging, we're gonna swing in the crowd, and we'll be clinging and floating high as a cloud. The phones are ringing, my mom and dad are so proud. I'm on bandstand, and I'll jump and hit, I may even show them my handstand. Because I'm on the American bandstand. When we dance real slow, I'll show all the guys in the grandstand what a swinger I am. Making my mark.